Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhyme, cut off by hunting Mabel. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm.
Hello and welcome to the Radio Aryan Roundtable. Today's date is the 20th of June, the longest day, the summer solstice or the Feast of St. John, depending on what your beliefs are. We do hope you're having a good day and we hope you're going to enjoy this show that we've got prepared for you today. I have two very special guests with me. I have Juhani Karanen from the Nordic Resistance Movement Finland. And I have Fascist Lemming from Twitter, YouTube, various radio shows. He pops up all over the internet. So I'm really pleased to be having these two with me today. So I'll start off with Juhani. How are you doing today, Juhani?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I hear that you recently went to a Nordic Resistance event and actually got voted Activist of the Year. Is that correct?
Yes, there was a Future Days event in Finland. It is a Nordic Resistance Movement event. There was speeches held and a lot of presentations. And I was awarded the Activist of the Year award. But there was a lot more interesting stuff than my award. But there was a Finnish National Socialist, Risto Teinonen. He held a speech about the issue that he has with the Estonian government because he's a well-known National Socialist in Estonia. And the Estonian government has pretty much put him in exile. And it's insane because the fact is that he's been prosecuted in Estonia and he is wondering if he can go to his court case when the day comes. And the Estonian government replied that no, you can't. So it's pretty insane that you have a court case in the country and you can't go to the country. So pretty much his lawyer is representing him there. But overall, the Future Days we had was really great event. It's always nice to meet with comrades and with there are a lot of good people. And I think we have a lot of pictures from there on our Nordic Resistance Movement, the Finnish branch's Twitter account. You can find it as the name is Vastarinta on Twitter, and there is going to be an article on our site vastarinta.com about the Future Days, and I highly recommend to check them out. And there is also going to be a video about the event, so check that out also from YouTube.
Excellent. Yeah, I heard that you had a summer event. There was people talking about it in the chat room earlier, but that is quite a bizarre state of affairs to be exiled from your own country and have to seek asylum in the country next door and then get told you've got to come back to go to court, but also told that you can't actually get back in. And that's just the sort of twisted reasoning that these liberal democracies that we live under thrive on. Right, also with us today, we have Fascist Lemming. How are you doing today, Mr. Lemming?
I'm doing great, Sven. Thanks for having me here. It's a white privilege to be here. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well, and I'm definitely looking forward to your presentation that you've got coming up, which I think is on this echo gate phenomena and the Jews actually putting parentheses around their own names. Is that what you've got for us today?
That's right. I'm going to be covering an article from Tablet Mag written by one Yair Rosenberg. And he talks about these supposedly great ways to troll internet Nazis. And it's just so absurd. This article is just a perfect demonstration of how out of touch these media Jews are. So I just want to go over it for the lulz, and we can see just how dumb they're acting. You know, we think Jews are smart on average, but they're acting pretty dumb with this whole echo gate, with this whole echo meme.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious to think they're actually doing our job for us, basically, and identifying themselves as Jews. Yeah, we'll look forward to that a little bit later on then. And I think the first thing that we'll start off with is this shooting of the MP then in Britain. And this MP, this Labour MP, Jo Cox, she was the MP for Batley and Spen. And I've been doing a bit of digging around into her background. And before she actually became MP, she was the chair of the Labour Women's Network for 4 years. She also worked for Oxfam and Bill Gates. And when she was working for Bill Gates, she was supposedly ending modern slavery. Of course, that didn't extend to modern sex slavery, which the Muslims seem to be indulging in, especially in the north of England. In fact, all over Britain, we have white women that are effectively just sex slaves for Muslims. But she wasn't interested in that at all. She was more interested in carrying Gordon Brown's wife's handbag for a few years, which seemed to get her promoted to the elite, basically, of the Labour Party. And she was then put on a all-female shortlist to prevent the local people in her area from voting for who they wanted. So they had to vote for basically a female, and that was it. They had no other choice. And also, while she was doing this, she was supporting Unite Against Fascism and Hope Not Hate. And after this shooting, there's actually been about £300,000 raised for her. And a large portion of that money is going to be going to Unite Against Fascism and Hope Not Hate. And for those of us listening that aren't British, they're the main organisations that fight against nationalism in Britain. They get funding from the government as well as charitable funding. And they're the guys that pay for the buses to travel around the country, busing anti-whites to any nationalist demonstrations so that they can call us Nazis and shout out at us and try to drown us down. So she was an extremely leftist character for the last 10 years, basically. And once she got into Parliament, she became a co-chair of the Friends of Syria, which is basically the enemies of Syria. There aren't any Syrians in the Friends of Syria. It's basically all the countries that have been trying to get rid of the legitimate president of Syria. So the Friends of Syria should really be called Friends of ISIS. She's also been in parliamentary groups working on Pakistan, Palestine and Kashmir. And of course, again, I remind people that nothing whatsoever to actually do with British people. She hasn't actually been looking out for British women or down and out British people. It's all been for these people abroad. The first speech she made, when she actually won her constituency, contained this quote: "Our constituencies have been deeply enhanced by Pakistani and Indian immigration, and we celebrate our diversity." And this is this woman, her constituency is actually in the same county that 1,400 white girls were raped in Rotherham. And yet she calls this deeply enhanced by Pakistani and Indian immigration. She's also quoted as saying diversity has made English neighbourhoods better and stronger. And one of her most recent speeches she gave, she said that there are 95,000 child refugees in Europe. And child should be in quote marks, as we know, because a lot of these people are claiming to be children, but all they've done is throw their passports away. And then she said that, and it is our challenge that we must rise to. And she was saying this because she's not happy about Britain accepting 3,000. She wanted Britain to accept the full 95,000. And before we continue, I'll just offer that up for any comments, Lemming.
Well, first of all, I can't say I have any sympathy for her. I guess I feel sympathy for her family, but I didn't know a lot of what you just said, and that's pretty bad how much of an extreme anti-white activist she was, basically working for the displacement and even eventual annihilation of the British population. And like you said, you know, she never cared anything about the actual British. And this notion that these Pakistanis enhanced her constituency, and that being the same constituency where the Rotherham rape gang occurred, I mean, you know, I can't say I feel too much sympathy for her. That being said, I can't say that this guy What did he name himself? Death to traitors, freedom for Britain, or whatever he said his name is. It wasn't the best timing ever for him to do this.
Yeah, it wasn't. I don't agree with violence, but it's people that do things like this that hate our people so much that they want to replace them really are putting themselves in a position of risk by doing this. I mean, it is actual treason that they're engaging in. And that speech where she said that our communities have been deeply enhanced by Pakistanis and Indians, I remember actually seeing that when she made that speech at the House of Commons and just being really shocked by it, that anyone could say such a thing after such horrendous events had actually taken place in the county. Johanny, have you got any comments that you'd like to make on this?
Yeah, sure. I heard there has been a lot of talk about this in Finland. They're calling out, was it that this Brexit vote killed this candidate? Because apparently the shooter was motivated by it. But I don't know. Of course, I don't have any sympathies for the women who got killed. Because disgusting policies, she was running completely anti-white. And also, no sympathies. Of course, I don't know the background story of the shooter, because some are claiming that he was far right or something like that. But then again, there was neighbors who said that he had no interest in politics. So I think it's completely messed up. And I think it's probably something that we will never learn what is the truth about it. But the fact is that the media will use this as an excuse to claim that this Brexit vote is racist and evil and all that. And also it's fun, like you mentioned, that these women said that communities have become stronger through diversity, when the fact is that studies have shown that communities become more untrustworthy. People don't trust their kinsmen in these communities when there is more diversity. So it's, you know, completely messed up. No sympathies for the women who got killed. Yes, that's my case. Yes.
I think she was a mother, so I have a bit of sympathy for the children. But, she's taking this, she's attacking our people, basically. She's saying she wants to replace us all. She knows that these so-called refugee children are all child soldiers. And she admits that they've seen, horrendous things. And they're all going to be damaged. And they're more likely to carry out terrorist-style attacks than any other type of refugee, to be honest. And the fact that she's never said anything about the white women and the rape epidemic that we have, and instead we're saying that we were enriched and strengthened by these creatures in our countries is really shocking. But I've dug up more information about this. I think I'll just repeat a piece from the Occidental Observer, because just 10 miles away from where this shooting took place, there was Muslims in court, and this is a quote from the Occidental Observer. The court heard that in Halifax, 11 miles from Cox's constituency, a vulnerable underage girl had been left to fend for herself at the age of 13 after her mother died. This child ended up being preyed upon by 100 Muslim males who plied her with alcohol and drugs, and she contracted an STD. At the Leeds trial, only 15 of the men were convicted. Originally, over 100 were arrested, and doubtless dozens of culprits walked free. And the point that they're making is that these trials are now happening so frequently that nothing was actually made of this. She wasn't making a point of highlighting this. In fact, she said nothing about it at all. And on the day before this trial took place, this Thomas Mayer, or Death to Traitors, Freedom for Britain, as he would rather be called, killed her in Birstall. Now, straight away when this happened, the news media, the Jews media, were reporting that witnesses said that he shouted Britain first when he actually did this. But then later on, we've got a witness saying that, no, I never said that. I never said that at all. And I've managed to find three witnesses that claim that he said Britain first, and one that said that he didn't actually say that. There's another witness that says that she was actually trying to break up a fight. And this is quite interesting. This is another quote. This is from the BBC. And it says, eyewitness Hithem Ben Abdullah, 56, was in a cafe next door to the library shortly after 1 o'clock British summertime when he heard screaming and went outside. There was a guy who was being very brave and another guy with a white baseball cap who he was trying to control. And the man in the baseball cap suddenly pulled a gun from his bag. After a brief scuffle, he said the man stepped back and the MP became involved. Mr. Abdullah said the weapon looked homemade. And a man who had been wrestling with the gunman continued, even after seeing the gun. He said the man stepped back with the gun and fired it, and then he fired a second shot. As he was firing, he was looking down at the ground. He was kicking her as she was lying on the floor, he said. So we've got another eyewitness there who claims that he wasn't actually intending on taking out the MP anyway, and that he was having an altercation with somebody else, and the MP intervened, basically. So we're being told all these conflicting things about this. We've also told afterwards that this Thomas Mayer, he actually has epilepsy. He's a bit of a loner. He was helpful to his neighbours. He did lots of voluntary work. So it's quite surprising that they jumped on it straight away and said, oh, well, he must be right wing. Now, and I thought, well, the media sees things like this, events like this happen, and the media think, right, how can we spin this? What can we do to help our narrative along? And I thought it could have been possible that somebody suggested to the witnesses, say he said Britain first, and you'll get a backhander or you'll get some kind of reward for this. So it could be that this happened, he was an epileptic, a madman, and somebody, they got the witnesses to say that, and then they may have said to him, if in court you say death to traitors, freedom for Britain, we'll ensure you get a less of a sentence. It's not beyond the realms of possibility. But straight away after this happened, there were reports from the SPLC, of all places in America, that there was a receipt for a National Alliance book purchase from 10 years ago. And this book that he allegedly purchased is actually a US government issued book, and it's also available on Amazon. And how would the SPLC actually have receipts going back 10 years and be able to actually find this guy's name on there? Now, I would suggest that either they just faked that, or else they've been paying people to infiltrate the National Alliance and steal their property, basically. We know this goes on in Britain. We know that the aforementioned groups, Hope Not Hate, and also Searchlight organisation, where they have so much money, they do actually pay people to infiltrate nationalist organisations. And then they do things like this, like stealing receipts, stealing membership lists, which is totally illegal. But the police just don't seem to do anything about it. This has happened quite a few times in Britain. And then they started making some more allegations, more tenuous links. They said that 10 years ago, he subscribed to an online magazine called Springbok. And this Springbok magazine, which is a South African nationalist group, they actually put something in the magazine wanting to know his whereabouts because they'd actually lost touch with him. So that's basically the only links that they've got on him to the so-called far right. I mean, they're pretty tenuous. They could have just been made up on the spot, basically, just to link him with nationalism and the far right. So he then has his court appearance. He shouts out death to traitors and freedom for Britain, which basically identifies him as being sympathetic to nationalist causes. But as I say, that could have just been suggested to him that he said that. And of course, after this, we get the narrative, and the narrative has been, rather than this is an attack on an MP or an attack by a madman, they're saying it's an attack on democracy. It's an attack on all democracy. Not a personal vendetta or a personal issue that he had with them, but attack on democracy. They've also then been linking this to so-called death threats on Twitter. They've been saying that we need to ban free speech on Twitter because people make death threats and then they go and try to carry it out like this. There's nothing to actually say that this guy has ever even been on Twitter. The woman's husband then comes out and makes a statement and he says, "We must unite against this hatred that killed her." Not we must, you know, prosecute the guy that killed her, but we must unite against this hatred that killed her. It's like Obama over in America saying we must unite against the guns that killed the queers in the nightclub. This seems to be a trend. It started with this war on terrorism, where they just came up with an emotion or something other than the actual people involved that they wanted to punish for the crime. So now we hear quite a lot, it's hatred that did this, or we must stop the hate. I was just wondering whether, you know, whether next they're going to come out with a war on hate. We've had the war on terror. Will it next be a war on hate? But you can see the way that they're totally shaping this narrative, trying to basically tar all nationalists with this and blame nationalists for it. And there's been a lot of people saying, well, is this to do with the Brexit? Is it to put people off? Because the Brexiteers are way ahead in the polls. We're about 10 points ahead still. It fluctuates between 5 and 10 points. And straight after this actually happened, Zero Hedge released a poll, polling people after this murder happened. And the people that wanted to leave the EU, 52%, and the people that wanted to remain in the EU, 37%. So it doesn't seem to have affected that at all. I've got one more piece on this, which I haven't mentioned yet, but I'll just pass that over to you, Lemming, again, to see if you'd like to comment on any of that.
Well, sure. Basically, I agree with your main point. It does kind of seem to be a setup, you know, with the timing of the shooting and the conflicting reports and, you know, the way that the media is spinning it over there, saying, you know, we have to unite against hate instead of unite against this guy who shot this MP. It's like they set him up as a patsy so they could take what he did and then try to blame the whole nationalist cause over there in the UK. It's funny though, because like you say with the polls, it doesn't seem to be working. So that's a very optimistic, the idea that you know, this guy, possible patsy, who knows, maybe the SPLC paid for him to actually buy these books from the National Alliance. Maybe he's been working with Antifa organizations for a long time. You never know, and we might never know, but it's funny they made that it was a possible setup to hurt the Brexit vote, and apparently it doesn't seem to have worked, and even possibly may have helped the Brexit vote. I find very, so that's pretty much all I think about that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to hurt the Brexit vote at all there. I was quite surprised at that myself. Johanny, have you got a comment that you'd like to make on that?
Yeah, I think it's pretty weird that they found these receipts that he got these books from National Alliance. I think it's kind of weird. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're lying about it, because that's how our opponents roll. They just like to make things up.
They certainly like to make things up. And the final piece that I found to do with this, which really is quite surprising, I'll put my tinfoil hat on for this one, but in 2003, there was a referendum in Sweden, and it was a referendum on the euro, and Sweden's foreign minister, Anna Lindh, was actually murdered in Stockholm 3 days before the referendum on the euro, where the people, actually 80% of the people, voted no to the euro. So it didn't actually affect the referendum then. But it's a bit of a strange coincidence that a few days before a referendum on something to do with the EU, there was a murder way back then in 2003. And just a final bit that I've got to do with this, it's a bit of a strange target to pick if it was a deliberate political act of terrorism, like the guy over in Norway, Breivik, because she wasn't that extreme. I mean, she was anti-white, she was a feminist, but she wasn't that extreme. And I've got a quote here from somebody else in the Labour Party. This is Rachel Maskell, and this is the sort of thing that she was saying. She said this at a rally a couple of months back. She said, "We need to shout so much more and say 20,000 is not enough. 30,000 is not enough. We will keep going until we hit our saturation point, because what does it matter if we have to wait another week for a hospital visit? Or if our class sizes are slightly bigger, or if our city is slightly fuller? What does it matter if things are slightly more challenging? If we have to pay a little bit more into the system, surely it is worth it to see those lives being restored again." And that is absolutely shocking. She wants to see Britain filled right up to saturation point with non-whites. She wants to just flood the place completely. And just today, we had Jeremy Corbyn, who's the leader of the Labour Party, and he said there should be no upper limits on immigration. We should just fill the country up until there's no more room for any more. And this wasn't a major target that he took out. There were people that are far more deserving of actually being taken to court and hanged for treason. Obviously don't condone paralegal acts like this, but there are people that far more deserved it than this woman here. I don't know if you want to make a comment on that, Lemming, before we move to Yohani's news piece this week.
No, I think you about covered it. All I can say once again, especially after what you just said, I don't have any sympathy for what happened to her.
Okay, this is just it. It's very hard to have sympathy when somebody's been involved in so many crimes against our people. Johanny, I believe you wanted to talk a little bit about the Orlando gay massacre this week.
Yes, I actually wrote an article about this. Yes, everybody have heard about the recent shooting in Orlando. I wrote the article about this, how mainstream media is claiming that the shooting happened because of guns or because the guy was mentally ill, but not because of his personal views, of course not. But what is also interesting is that in the United States Senate, they're trying to pass a Feinstein bill to ban weapons from people who are on so-called terrorist watch list. Well, who end up in the terrorist watch list? Of course, people who are a threat to the current system. In other words, people who are openly anti-Zionist, pro-nationalist. Also, there has been talks about a bill which goal is to ban weapons from people who are sentenced of hate crimes. And of course, we know that it's pretty much only the whites who are sentenced of hate crimes. And also recently, Donald Trump is supporting the idea of banning guns from people who are on the terrorist watch list. And what is the point is that it's really dangerous situation, because at the point when the guns are taken away from people, current corrupt elite does not have a real threat anymore. And fact is that they are not scared of elections where mainstream media controlled masses vote. So when the guns are taken away from people, it's pretty much like the last nail to the coffin. Yeah. So what did you guys think about the Orlando shooting? Yeah.
Lemming, do you want to go first?
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, with guns, we had guns banned quite some while back in Britain. But I agree with you that the fact that you do actually still have the guns there in America, then that does actually hold the government's feet to the fire. And it is a little bit alarming that he's talking about this terrorist watch list when we know that nationalists are likely to get put on that. We get called terrorists, even though an actual terrorist act by a nationalist is extremely rare. They do occur, but only sort of about one a decade, not one a month like we get from the Muslims. And another thing that it makes me wonder about, this so-called terrorist watch list, I mean, 100 of the security guards at the football matches in France, they were actually on the terrorist watch list, these Muslims. And it was found to be the same at the airport recently. There was a terrorist act at the airport in France. There are so many Muslim terrorist acts that I actually lose track of them all. But there was one at an airport in France recently. Brussels, that was the one. And the actual airport themselves, the security staff that they had that were working on the aeroplanes, they actually had to get rid of some of them because the aeroplanes were coming in with Allah Akbar carved into the fuselage. So they again were employing these people that were on the Muslims that were on the terrorist watch list. But the fact that they're Muslims, the fact that they're brown, they were too frightened to get rid of them. Because they knew that they would straight away, they would have a lawsuit against them saying that they had sacked the guy due to racism. This is a problem. We cannot criticize non-whites in any way, shape or form without being accused of being racist. And as we all know, racism is the ultimate sin. It's the ultimate sin. Used to be things like sodomy, but now we're supposed to celebrate that. That's supposed to be absolutely wonderful. And this new made-up word of racism—that's the ultimate sin. Racism is just the equivalent of loving your own family. It doesn't mean you hate everyone else's family. It just means that you put your own family first. And people that say that racism means you hate other races, well, they should look up the actual meaning of the word, because it actually means to discriminate between the races. And to discriminate between the races is just to tell a difference between them. And there obviously is a difference between them, or we wouldn't be told that we have white privilege. We wouldn't be told that we're racist if there was no difference between them. There's obviously a difference between them, and form follows function. So if they have a different form, they're going to have a different function. I know I've wandered off topic a little bit there, but would you like to make a comment on this Orlando shooting, Lemming?
Yeah, definitely. I want to say this whole, we don't know exactly what happened with this shooting. There's a lot of questions. You know, did he just do it on his own, or was he kind of set up to do it? You know, I don't want to really put on my tinfoil or anything. But what we definitely do know is that every single one of these mass shooting terrorist events always lead for calls for less freedom for whites, whether it be, especially gun control, gun confiscation. And it's funny, they will use these invaders, these Muslim invaders or whoever, to actually carry out these crimes, but then they want to continue. They like want to blame the crime on white people entirely, because they're really only interested in taking guns from whites. They obviously don't care about Chicago or Detroit, and you know, they want to bring in infinite Muslims and Mexicans and all this stuff. So obviously they're not worried about people having guns. They just don't want white people to have guns. And that's really, I think, the main thrust of all of these the reactions to all of these events, is that they want to push more gun control.
Yeah, it does. It seems that way. It doesn't matter what the Muslims do or what blacks do against whites. It's always the white guy's fault. It's the white man's fault for selling guns. It's the white man's fault for criticizing politicians on Twitter. It's the white man's fault just for being alive, basically. Just for being privileged to actually be born in his own country that his ancestors built. It's always white people that are getting the blame. Well, perhaps we should lighten things up a little bit then, Lemming, and move on to your piece this week on the parenthesis, the echo chamber symbol around the Jews' names.
That's right, the echo symbol, what we call echo gate. And it all started with Jonathan Weissman of the New York Times being attacked by the Stormer Troll Army, and he figured out what the parentheses were. And so he exposed that to the Jewish community, and that led to an article published by Mike.com with this big expose. And once that happened, all of these Jews on Twitter started putting the echoes around their own names. They started naming themselves, which, you know, basically one of the greatest things we've seen in recent history. And so this has been going on pretty solidly for 2.5 weeks. We still have a lot of these Jews, the SPLC, they still have the echoes on their Twitter accounts to this day, which is pretty amazing. But the best part of this whole thing has been the reaction of these Jews. It's been extremely hysterical. It's been beyond anything I would have ever expected. And a perfect example of that is this article from Tablet Mag, which the title is "Beyond Parentheses, Three More Ways to Troll the Internet Nazis." And the subtitle reads, "Here's how you can show anti-Semites that they're outside acceptable online discourse, show solidarity with the people they harass, and take back Taylor Swift." And once again, this is by Yair Rosenberg. And yes, they want to take back Taylor Swift. These snarky Jews think they're so clever. But he starts off the article basically talking about how good it is that all these Jews have decided to start naming themselves. And quoting from the article, he says, "Politicians, celebrities, journalists, and more. From Atlantic correspondent Jeffrey Goldberg to West Wing and Scandal actor Josh Molina to Colorado Congressman Jared Polis, Jews and non-Jews alike showed solidarity against the anti-Semites. The movement even made the New York Times." So it's like, you know how happy we are that these Jews are, they're naming themselves on Twitter. They're putting all of our memes in the New York Times. They're discussing all of our stuff on stuff like the Young Turks. They're giving us all this exposure. We think it's great. And the funny thing is that they also think it's great. Like, they think they're getting one over on us by giving us all this exposure when, like, that's exactly what we wanted to begin with. But he thinks it's a good thing because it exposes online anti-Semitism. But that's what we want because, you know, we're the pro-white, we're Jew-wise, so we are the truth. You know, we know exactly what's going on with this white genocide and all this degeneracy and this takeover of the West by Jews. So if they expose us, they're just exposing the truth. It doesn't matter if it's them that's exposing it. It's still the truth, so, like, it still helps us either way. But it's funny that they think they're so smart for exposing our memes.
It's pretty, it's hilarious. Really hilarious when you think about it. When you think of it, it started off as putting those parentheses around it in that...
Oh, the coincidence detector, right.
Yeah, the coincidence detector. So you basically have a coincidence detector that shows every Jew that's on the page by putting those parentheses around it. But you know, it's pretty hard to identify every Jew. You know, you've got to have a list somewhere. So the Jews themselves have helpfully stepped forward and are now doing it themselves for us. So to help us see who is the Jew and help to point out to people, well, look at this coincidence. All these people that are Jews that are involved in this, they've actually stepped forward and are doing it for us. Like, that is just incredible. And they can't see it. And they think that, you know, this is some way of fighting against us. This is some way of trolling us by doing this, by actually helping us out like that. It's just incredible. Right. I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Yeah, they really think that they're making us mad. Like this guy, Yair Rosenberg, he says, "I can tell how mad I'm making these Nazis by using the echoes for myself. So it makes me want to use it even more." Where it's like, no, you're actually doing our work for you. You know, the ageless question, is there such a thing as a good Jew? I guess if you ever could say there was one, it's the Jew that willingly puts the Jude star on himself. You know, like, these guys are doing our job for us, which is amazing. But yeah, he did claim, this guy, Yair Rosenberg, in this article, he claims to have received hundreds of tweets from alt-rightists, claiming to be mad that he used the echo, but I have not seen anyone mad about these Jews naming themselves. We've been laughing more than we have laughed in so long. Just seeing SPLC, I could not believe my eyes when I saw this. So, but I got a whole bunch more notes on this to cover. So, the next thing I want to note is that he claims that we remain anonymous on Twitter because we fear societal ridicule. And they like to pull that card a lot when they're talking about us, about how we're anonymous. But, you know, they never want to mention that people like John Friend and Matthew Heimbach were fired from their jobs, you know, and a lot of us have families and we have jobs that we can't afford to lose. And, you know, anonymity isn't necessarily a bad tactic. So they always want to try to put us on the spot for not putting our names out there. And they also talk about how much they love Facebook for the same reason. And that's why Jonathan Wiseman wants to quit Twitter and go to Facebook, because everyone has to identify themselves on Facebook.
That's a good point. That, you know, that's a really good point about Matthew Heinbach and John Frayn getting fired after actually putting their names out there. So it's a complaint that we try to keep ourselves anonymous. And again, that, you know, it's just great to see them being wound up by that. Hannah, would you like to make a comment before Lemming continues?
Yeah, I am a quite active user on Twitter, and I have seen this echo stuff going on, and I think it's pretty funny, and and I think it's fun to see, like, they're trying to take it back, like, haha, we gotcha, like, they're trying to turn it across the board, but I don't know, I don't think it's really working, so yeah.
It is the most bizarre behavior that we've seen in them yet. And I think it really does show that they're not actually capable of self-reflection. You know, this, it is a biological problem that they have, the way that they behave. So you can show it to them. You can point out to them what it is that they're doing, but they just don't actually see it. This is why they believe in anti-Semitism. They believe it's just this irrational thing that the irrational pathology that the Gentiles have against them. So they can't see, when you point out to them that this, by having their names like that in these parentheses, it shows that it's not a coincidence. They just can't see that. They can't understand that. So, you know, I think it highlights that as well, that it's a biological problem that they actually have. Their behavior is ingrained in them. It's a racial thing. It's not a religious thing or a cultural thing. It's a biological thing that's present in every single Jew. Please do continue, Lemming, or comment on what either of us just said.
Yeah, sure. First, though, what you just said reminds me, Hitler wrote about that in Mein Kampf, how he would try to debate the Jews, and then the next day he would see them, you know, acting like they never had this debate the day before. So they literally, they're not going to change their tune no matter what you do, no matter what you say to them. So, so this article, three ways to troll internet Nazis. The first one was for these Jews to put echoes around themselves, which is funny. They think that's a way to troll us. So the second great idea from Yair Rosenberg is, he thinks that they should also start using the hashtag white genocide in their tweets. And, here's what he writes. Let me quote Yair Rosenberg. He says, "If there's one thing that animates the alt-right, it's their fear of an allegedly ongoing, quote-unquote, white genocide, in which minorities, African Americans, Hispanics, Jews, immigrants of all stripes, overtake the country and erode its formerly pristine, quote-white culture. Infamously, Donald Trump has repeatedly retweeted supporters promulgating this claim with the hashtag white genocide hashtag." So yeah, just based on that paragraph first, just notice how anti-white this Jew is. We always got to point that out. He puts sneer quotes around white culture and white genocide, and how we're supposedly delusional that we notice that all white countries have wide open borders and race mixing propaganda and forced assimilation. So apparently we're the crazy ones for even bringing up white genocide. So he thinks they should start using it themselves. And he features this one tweet from none other than Chaim Steinmetz. That's right, this Jewish rabbi on Twitter, Chaim Steinmetz. And it shows this guy making a, I can't remember what he says in the tweet, like, "It rained on the Israeli Day parade today, hashtag white genocide." So it's so, like, silly and inane of them to do this that they want to use the white genocide hashtag. But here's some more reasoning that Yair Rosenberg writes about. He says, "On Twitter, whenever a Jew expresses concern about anti-Semitism or other bigotry, alt-right trolls invariably pop up and exclaim, 'Oy vey, it's another Shoah.' Thus, they trivialize both the contemporary concern and the Holocaust in one ugly utterance. The phrase is even starting to seep into real-world discourse. funny. He writes that people are saying, oy vey, it's not a Shoah in real life. He goes on to say, conservative journalist and Trump critic Ben Shapiro reported being confronted with it by a young Trump supporter at a college campus event.
He grins at me like it's fine to say this sort of thing, Shapiro recalled.
And so my favorite line from this article, Rosenberg says, if the anti-Semites are going to mock a real genocide, the least the rest of us can do is return the favor and mark their farcical one. And see, that's funny he says that, because I've often said the exact same thing about them and about how they make us worship their farcical genocide, the Holocaust, which never happened. No gas chambers to be found, no remains, no bodies, no ash, no bones to be found. So they want to make us worship their Holocaust, but they have nothing to say about what they did and the Holodomor, the Bolshevik Revolution, what's going on in South Africa. They have nothing to say. They even deny really obvious and well-known stuff like the Armenian genocide, which, seems that they perpetrated. Maybe that's why they deny that genocide. But it's just funny that they have the same sentiment, but since they're Jews, they're representing a lie, because, once again, the Holocaust never happened, and we represent the truth. White genocide is the real genocide, because we are the ones with the wide open borders, the forced assimilation, etc. So, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, we can prove that we're the ones being genocided just by looking at our demographics, just by looking at London. Just for a start, which is only 40% white and 60% non-white now. So we've got the proof that we're the ones being genocided and ethnically cleansed. But as far as the hashtag white genocide, again, that's just fantastic. I mean, for years, we've been trying to get the words white genocide into the public discourse. We've been putting it everywhere. The whole point of it, and that anti-racism is a code word for anti-white, is meme seeding, so that people see these words, they see these phrases, they see them so many times, they get lodged in their mind, and eventually they start thinking, well, what is that? What does it mean? And then they look it up to find out what it actually means. So instead of it just being us that are seeding this white genocide meme, our enemies are now doing it for us as well. You know, it's incredible. This is a fantastic article by this Jew. He couldn't have been more helpful towards us. And again, it just shows their total insanity in the fact that he's actually doing it and thinks that this is going to wind us up. And the Taylor Swift pictures as well that he's going to start using. I mean, it's just, the mind boggles at where he got his logic from for all of this, for doing this. But to that hashtag white genocide, if all the Jews are going to start adding that to all their Twitter accounts, then, just brilliant. It's pretty much speechless. It's so good. Yeah, Hani, have you got a comment you'd like to make on that?
Yeah, I think kind of like I was about to say the same thing as you. I think it would be good if they started using the hashtag white genocide and start making fun of it, because it would show that what kind of hypocrisy exists, because every other genocide is serious, but the white genocide is not.
They need to start using hashtag holohoax, hashtag no gas chambers, that sort of thing as well. He needs to be doing some more of that. Have you got any more that you want to add to that, Lemming, at all? Or have you finished that piece now?
There's a little bit left. Like you said, the Taylor Swift memes. He wants to make Taylor Swift memes with, pro-Jewish stuff on it. And it's funny about the Taylor Swift meme, because my brother and my dad posted a Taylor Swift meme with a Mussolini quote on it on Facebook today. So I thought that was cool to see our culture. It's bleeding into the mainstream. And that's one of these great things with Taylor Swift. So, but the last tactic that he wanted him and his fellow Jews to use is to take photos of world leaders whispering into each other's ears and captioning it with the Goyim no. So he wants to also use the Goyim No on top of white genocide, hashtag white genocide and Taylor Swift memes. He wants to start push because he noticed how we always say the Goyim No. You know, that is kind of the theme of what's going on in this best current year ever, is that we do know, and that's why they're trying to shut us down. But yeah, he wants to take pictures of world leaders and caption it with the Goyim No. So that is just like, that was his three tactics that were just completely, it's just really funny that he thinks he's being smart when he's acting so dumb.
It's incredible that they're going to start promoting that as well, the Goyim No. And just more and more of it is going to alert people to what we have to say. And even if they start using these Taylor Swift memes with Jewish quotes on them, people are going to be saying, well, why are they using Taylor Swift memes? And then they're going to go back and they're going to find out all the nationalist memes that were put out with Taylor Swift and where it originated from. And you really couldn't, you know, sort of dream this up even. It's beyond sort of wildest dreams that the Jews would actually be going out and doing our own work for us. And, you know, I know that a lot of the point of making the over-the-top tweets originally with Luciana Berger was so that these tweets then got posted in the mainstream media and drew attention to us and got people to research what was going on. But to actually have them deliberately doing this, I'm amazed at the logic of it. I really am. And you're talking about the holler hoax there, and that the Goyim know, and they want to promote these memes that are like that. I believe you've got one last little bit for us, Juhani, that's about is it the Finnish Prime Minister that's saying that we need to teach the immigrants about the holler hoax or something like that, so that they can learn to worship the Jews better, just like us Europeans? Is that right?
Yes, actually, it was the Finnish foreign minister who said this, and he's also the leader of the True Finns Party, which is so-called nationalist, but in fact, it's a Zionist, shill nationalist party. The guy's name is Timo Soini, and he said that we need to teach refugees about Holocaust, so they can integrate to Europe much better. So it just shows like what kind of insane culture we are living today, because we need to teach people who do not belong here about an so-called event which did not happen and it really didn't have anything to do with European people. So it just, it's insane to see what kind of state Europe is in.
Well, if they really wanted to teach the immigrants how to worship the Jews better, all they have to do is send them to an evangelical church. That's what the evangelicals do best, is worshipping the Jew. And this is a big problem that we have with our people, is that they believe in this holler hoax. It gives the Jews a shield, basically, against criticism, that they can always bring it up. That's why this previous story that Lemming was talking about is so important, because when people look and they see that all those coincidences, all those coincidental Jewish names there, they're going to be looking into it and thinking, well, hang on a minute, maybe this is true. You know, maybe we have got too many of them in banking. Maybe we have got too many of them in the government. And if they then start looking into it, they're then going to find out that the holler hoax is all a complete fraud, especially if this other meme that they're going to be doing about the Shoah, not another Shoah. I mean, that again, that's going to draw attention to this, and that's going to bust open this holler hoax lie, which is the most important one that stands in the way of actually criticizing the Jews, is that people think that they were holler hoaxed. So, you know, the fact that they are going to be exposing that themselves for us is really good news. Did you have a comment that you wanted to make on this Finnish foreign minister, Lemming?
Yeah, you know, it's typical, but it's triggering and disgusting to think that they equate teaching Holocaust mythology is the same as integrating. They said we need to teach them about the Holocaust to integrate them into European culture. And that is pretty disgusting. It speaks for itself, and, you know, it shows why they have the Holocaust denial laws, because they're terrified of it being exposed. It is so central to their anti-white narrative to demoralize us, disarm us, to keep us from standing up for ourselves and letting in all these invaders. And also, I want to note this Holocaust humor that we've been fostering with these memes over the last few years. Oy vey, it's another Shoah, and just mocking it. And this is what the Jews are responding to. You know, many thanks to all the Holocaust revisionists with all their sacrifices, Ernst Zundel. You know, they led the way. But now it seems like just pure ruthless mockery through memes and attacking them directly on Twitter. And we're really going to get a big breakthrough, destroying this Holocaust myth. So I'm looking forward to future developments on that front.
Well, yeah, it's certainly a lot of fun. Just getting people laughing and that's a really good way of getting them on our side. When you think of what the leftist humor is like, it's all degenerate, it's all perverse, pedophile jokes. Jokes about people not accepting homosexuals, things like that. It's all really twisted. And when you get back to some good old racist humour, get some gas chamber humour, which people haven't heard before, they're going to find it funny. And when they find out that it's a total lie, they're going to start making up the jokes themselves about it. Lampshades and soap, it's just such a ridiculous thing. That's already sort of entering into the public comment sections. You hear people mentioning stuff like that. But as far as integrating them, you're right. It is really sad that the way to try and integrate other races into European culture is to teach them about the Holocaust. You would think that European culture would have been based on Christianity, maybe based on the laws of the Bible, Christendom. But no, what European culture is based on now is the Holocaust. That's the most important thing. We teach them that 6 million Jews died, and then they'll fit in Europe, just well, exactly how we want them to be, just like all the rest of the Europeans. And I'm quite surprised that he actually admitted this, that was what the point of it was. That was how they were going to integrate them, because it does show you just how important the Holocaust is to them. You would think that they would be a little bit wary of doing that, and that people would think, well, hang on a minute, is it really the most defining point of European culture? Is it really the center of what it means to be a European? 6 million Jews supposedly being lampshaded in Auschwitz? There must have been some criticism of him for this when he said this in Finland. Was there anything in the comment sections over there? Was there anything sort of said in public about how wrong this was, Juhani?
Well, this was published in this Jewish newspaper that, like, these politicians give, like, speeches, and they write about it in this Jewish newspaper. But there was no really criticism about it. I didn't really see it on the mainstream media. It's only buddy who reported about it was this pro-nationalist, anti-Zionist media called Magnet Media. So there was no criticism about it, and why should there be? We need to worship Holocaust and all that stuff. Of course, why not?
It's a real shocking indictment, I think, of our times that is the center of everything, and that's what our people think we need to teach outsiders so that they can be like us. That's their number one priority, is to get them worshiping the Jews. And that is the number one priority of everything. Our media, films, music, the news, all of it is about putting these Jews on this pedestal and making them out to be this protected species. It boils down to that quote by Voltaire. If you need to work out who it is that you cannot criticize to realize who it is that rules over you. And all I can say is just thank the Jews, actually, for exposing this for us and doing our work for us this week. It is a fantastic week, and Lemon, you've been quite right. It is the most fantastic current year. It's the best one yet. So I'd just like to thank you both for coming on once again. Thank you, Yohani. I do hope you'll come on again. And also Fascist Lemming, I do hope you'll come on again. I'm not sure when the next Radio Aryan Roundtable will be on Radio Aryan, but it should be in a couple of weeks, I would have thought. So thank you for coming on. Thank you, listeners, for listening. And we'll see you all again next time.
Well, that's the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are for the table. So many times we give and rhyme, cut off by dancing able. We're off and mad in Camelot. We sing from the diaphragm alone.
Tuned in to Radio Aryan.